All right. So tell us a little bit more about the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act, that's its formal name, and how it would apply.
Well, let's just say in the background there are two main questions. Everyone seems to be concerned of how to avoid a reverse sequestration, and we wanted to focus on, if it can't be reversed, how it would be implemented. The Budget Control Act of 2011 had set up this super committee to try to find $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction, and the super committee failed. This requires the $1.2 trillion in cuts through 2021, which half is going to be for defense and half non-defense. So you're talking about $55 billion in cuts that would be starting in January 2nd, 2013 to the Pentagon. But the thing about this is that the law does not clearly specify how those cuts are going to be implemented. The law says that there's going to be it refers back to Graham Rudman Holland's 1985 sequester law, which had set up the first sequestration in 1986. And that 1986 sequestration, at that time, my colleague Rob Levinson and I here at Bloomberg Government decided to speak to people who had implemented sequestration before, because the current law says do it like they did before. And at that time, OMB decided that they were going to cut every single program at the lowest level possible. But they said to us that was their decision. But the law is inherently unclear about at exactly what level something needs to be cut. The law doesn't say so, but when we spoke to people in congressional staffs, and they seemed to believe that every program did have to be cut. But we looked at the law. The law says every program, project, and activity needs to be cut. But the Defense Department doesn't build its budgets on programs, projects, and activities. It has a completely different structure.
So, Kevin, can you just make this concrete for me? Give me some examples of what the Pentagon could do if they took this interpretation of cutting at the lowest level possible.
If they cut at the lowest level possible, then you were talking about $55 billion in cuts over the Pentagon, the president's request of $525 billion. That's over 10% cut to every single program line item. For instance, the development of Boeing's KC-46 tanker, the funding for that, even though it's a fixed-price contract, that would be cut by 10%. Or the funding for the development of the Joint Strike Fighter for each of the services would be cut by 10%. That's if they interpret it at the lowest level. But if they go up one more level and say, you know, we really think activity means budget activity, which the Pentagon does but have, and that would be, say, Air Force system development and demonstration, which both that F-35 and the KC-46 are in. And they can say, well, we really want to protect those two programs. We'd rather cut other programs for the total amount of that budget activity, which is about $5 billion. So they'd need to find, I don't know, say if the president protects military personnel, about over $600 million in that account, and they could find a couple of other programs to cut instead.
So the term across the board then doesn't really apply. It's not accurate.
The term across the board is one interpretation. It's an interpretation that OMB has used before, but OMB hasn't been put into the position of cutting, sequestering funds in the middle of a fiscal year, and haven't been into this position where the president, Congress, military leaders, industry, nobody wants sequestration. They just haven't agreed on a way to avoid it.
We're speaking with Kevin Brancato. He's a defense analyst for Bloomberg Government, and he's taking a look at the budget under a budget scenario under sequestration.
What was pretty interesting is that there were some details about previous sequestrations that didn't make it into our recent insight. When my colleague Rob Levinson spoke, he basically said that a lot of the agencies didn't know what level that they would be cutting at. And they were told, cut, if you can identify something, cut at that level. If you can get lower, cut at that level. OMB had three-ring binders full of lists of program, projects, and activities. This is, you know, 1986. This is how things were implemented. And there was one earmark. There was a buoy off in a harbor, which a congressman had requested in an earmark, and it itself was an activity. And I believe it was the Coast Guard didn't know how to sequester the buoy. And essentially they were told, how many times a year do you go out to visit it? you know, visit, go visit it one less to check on it.
Yeah, so it gets to be kind of goofy at some point. So what do we have any indication of how, at this point, defense might go about sequestration? That is, do we know whether they have plans in place at this point to deal with this in a grown-up manner, should it occur?
Well, I think, as most people recognize, the president's fiscal 2013 budget ignored sequestration. It did not take into
account. Yeah, we noticed.
And there have been no discussions of how this would be implemented. When we called up OMB to say, if it is implemented, not that it will be, if it is, how it will be implemented, and their response is that they will figure that out when they have to. The Pentagon doesn't appear to have had made public contingency plans, although they have a contingency plan for everything. It's hard to believe they wouldn't have one for sequestration.
So, Kevin, just real quick, I'll ask you to sort of go out on a limb, because Leon Panetta has called this sort of a doomsday scenario. Do you agree with that when you're talking about sequestration?
We've been analyzing this for some time, particularly from the industry point of view. But they initially said there would be millions of jobs lost. Now they're saying there are hundreds of thousands. It's likely that there would be huge losses to industry, and layoffs. Would it be doomsday? They'd have to right-size the force. It might have to be part of the nuclear triad would be cut. I mean, but they have to be substantial reductions in some capabilities. What we're talking about is that the Budget Control Act doesn't say you have to cut a little bit of everything, but they can make smart and targeted adjustments. Is it doomsday? No, these are real and serious cuts. The idea is they probably will not be able to get away with just not modernizing equipment. You're talking about cuts to personnel and cuts to some capabilities, air, space, sea, that people will definitely see as eroding U.S. military power.
So, in other words, they're not likely to make all those little nicks and tiny little cuts across the board, like going to the buoy one less time, but instead, in effect, cut an arm off.
What really drew us to this is that the idea that you'd have to cut every single program means you have to basically nearly cancel every single contract. The feasibility of this mid-year seems to be – it's highly impractical, and it's a lot more costly to do it that way, to go after each and every contract, than is to identify and target specific contracts. And the entire point of the Budget Control Act is to reduce the deficit. It's to save money. It's not to try to cut here and there, only to experience cost growth on major weapon systems and contract cancellation costs.
Interesting insight. So that means that I guess the question is, if they don't really have plans that they're making public, do you think they've got plans under wraps? Because or are they just whistling past the graveyard and figuring Congress will see this as so horrible that they could never possibly let it happen, knowing that it happened in 1985?
I mean, it was about, I think, 4.9% in 1986. But this, you weren't talking about an era where you've had other budget cuts in place, a decline in war spending like we're having now. You're seeing a much larger shift under this form of sequestration than previous form of sequestration. I think the idea is, from the political standpoint, the president and Congress are probably going to have to wait until after the election to come to some resolution. The military sees no benefit in putting its cards on the table right now. But I tend to think, from industry's point of view, it'd be very useful to know that there is some flexibility, and that flexibility resides essentially right now in the Office of Management and Budget.